1, starting in verse 57, we are looking at this account where Elizabeth now has her baby. So we looked in the previous week about the prophecy that was given, or the word that was given by, through the angel, to an old couple, a couple that in the natural would not have been able to have a baby. And yet, here we are in verse 57, where it says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby. Such a matter-of-fact statement. It makes you just, you know, just rejoice in the way that God is so direct with our lives. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. When it is time for God to do the things in your life, it takes place. We get anxious. We get impatient. We look to all the circumstances. And we say, oh, what's going to happen? But when it was time, her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. Let me just do a quick 2 points here about this passage, and then we'll get into the rest of it in terms of what Zechariah says. But do you realize that when the angel came to Zechariah, he said, because you didn't believe what I said, until these things take place, you will not be able to speak. What things? The birth of a baby to an old couple. Well, Zechariah goes back home, and then Elizabeth gets pregnant, and she carries this baby for 9 months. So what the angel said, baby's going to be born, was in a sense taking place. But Zechariah doesn't, he's not able to speak. And then we read here that Elizabeth actually, when it was time, gave birth to a son. And now 8 days have passed, and according to the custom, according to the law, according to what they were supposed to do, the Jewish people, they have now prepared to circumcise the baby. And so the people have gathered, and they're coming with this great time of rejoicing, and they're dedicating the baby, and they're going to name the child. And still, Zechariah doesn't speak. And then it says that when he said, his name is John, immediately his tongue was loosed and he began to praise God. You know, we wait for the things of God and the timing of God, and I just mentioned that we wait with patience and we do it and we allow God to move. There's also a part of what we have to declare and to bear witness to when God fulfills his promises. You know, couldn't Zechariah have said, God, it's pretty obvious that we're having this child, right? Look at this wife of mine. Anybody who sees it will know that you've worked a miracle. Let me now speak. Couldn't he have prayed that? Couldn't he have said it? But there was something that happened when he declared, his name is John, in the right time, and in the right audience, with the right audience, that then, it says, immediately he started to speak and to praise God. Let us be noting some of these things. I'm not making this any kind of formula. I'm not saying to you, you know, do this, do this, do this, then this. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, note some of these things that are given to us in the Word and say, God, even when I am awaiting your promise, even when I'm awaiting your deliverance, even when I see that that's in progress, it has not been completely finished, but I see you're already working. Don't let me just step back from it, but help me to step into it and to declare what you have done. To let people know this is what the Lord has done. It is marvelous in our eyes, but I am here to declare that the Lord has been faithful. And so before he speaks, he declares in faith. Before the children of Israel saw the walls fall, they shouted. They shouted the victory and then saw the walls fall. Sometimes we need to declare the victory of God, the promise fulfillment, the things that God has done for us. And we say, his name is John. This is what the angel has said. And immediately his son was loosed and he started to praise the Lord. Now, the people, they witness this and they say, wow, what kind of child is this to be? Zechariah has a promise and a prophecy and the angel has said things, and those that would pay attention to the prophecies of the past would sort of maybe guess that something is happening. But do you think that at that point in time, on the eighth day of his life, of the life of John, that the people there could even anticipate what would happen 30 years through in the next 30 years? How John would be in the wilderness? How he would minister? What he would say to the people? How he would start to call people to repentance? And then that Jesus would come and John would baptize him. And then ultimately that John would say, I must decrease so that he may increase. And he would point everybody to Jesus. And that then he would be imprisoned and that he would be killed. On this eighth day, when the people were standing there, I don't think any one of them, including Zechariah and Elizabeth, could have had a sense for all that God was going to do in John's life. And if you think about it, when they knew the Lord's hand was upon this child, that's what the Bible says, for the Lord's hand was with them. It was evident and manifest to everybody. The natural tendency may have been to think, wow, God's going to raise up this child, that he's going to be this big prophet, or he's going to do something else, or he's going to accomplish something. There may have been all sorts of thoughts in the minds of the people that I don't think would have been quite, he's going to be in the wilderness, of, you know, wearing this hides and eating locusts and honey. I don't think they would have envisioned that. But that was the plan of God that was just about to unfold. When we look at our own lives and anticipate babies being born and children that are young and birthdays being celebrated, young children and so on, and we even know that the Lord's hand is upon our children, what do we think about? Do we think about them becoming something accomplished in the world and achieving prominence? And we say, oh, the Lord's hand is upon this child. I can see right from their birth, God was the one that blessed this child. And the Lord's hand was upon this child. Oh, you know, what do we envision for them? What do we anticipate for our children? What do we say? Oh, God's going to now use them in these ways. I can see that, you know, God's going to bless them and prosper them. Do we envision a life of being in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey, bearing hardship, bringing a hard and harsh message sometimes of repentance, not being really liked by the people around them, and then dying, just about 30 years old, dying for the sake of God because he stood for truth? Would we envision that for our children? When we think of the Lord's hand being upon our children, we think in material terms. We think in terms of the world. We think in terms of success as the world would define it. But the Lord's hand was upon John. And we know the rest of the story. So we can go back and read this phrase and say, ah, when the Lord's hand is upon us and upon our children, let us yield to the Lord's hand to do what he wants. Because what he wants may be quite different from what we think, what we expect, what we are conditioned to expect, what we think may be good. It may be quite different from that. It may be necessary for us to say, God, change my thinking. Transform me and help me to look at my child and our circumstances in such a way that your will is done in their lives and your purpose is fulfilled. That's what gets us in the path of God, in the way of the Lord. Otherwise, we go in the way of the world, right? So that's where, when the word then says to us, train up a child in the way that they should go. It's recognizing that start in Christ. It's recognizing the Lord's hand upon them. It's looking at the promises and prophecies that the Lord is giving and saying, okay, this is not for me to train up this child to be a doctor, engineer, lawyer, this thing, that thing. You know, this is for me to train up this child in the way that they should go, according to the Lord. So we continue in Luke chapter 1. And when all of these interesting things are happening, the Bible says that his father, John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesies. And he says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. Now, Zechariah is prophesying at the birth of his son John, but clearly he's not just speaking about John, and he's not really speaking about what his son John is about to accomplish. He's really speaking about Jesus, the one who is not yet born, but the one that they're anticipating. And so he says all of these truths about what God is doing by paying attention to or drawing our attention all the way to the past, all the way to where coming to the present, and then speaking about the future. Because the things that he's describing and says, you know, this is what he will do and he will establish himself and so on, we clearly understand that that's not fully realized until the second coming of Jesus. So prophecy of this prophecy of Zechariah, he's pointing to all of God's plan, start to finish. And he's saying the promises and the oaths that God made to Abraham and to the descendants before the, you know, the people that were descended from Abraham, all those things he's now fulfilling. And here it comes, this way that we see the Messiah coming into our lives, to show mercy and to do these things, to bless us. And he continues. And now Zechariah is turning his attention more specifically to John. And he says, and you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. He's echoing those words from Malachi and Isaiah and the prophecies that have been given. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. What a declaration. What a statement. 8 days after the child is born. We need to be people who are hearing from God about every one of our children in these ways. That on the 8th day of their life, we would be able to say, this is what the Lord is going to do. In the 8th year of their lives, in the 18th year of their lives, whenever the Lord would start to speak to you and show you, let's declare the plan of God for our children and for our children's children, and therefore for our families in that way. Not the plan of the world, not the plan that we have, not the things, oh, I couldn't do this when I was a young child, I want my child to do this. You know, we do all that kind of stuff. But we want to be able to say, God, your word, your prophecy, your promise, let that be fulfilled. And so, this morning though, I want to take a few minutes and focus on this idea of being prepared in order to prepare the way. Because what Zechariah says about John, so we're looking at the birth of John, but what Zechariah says about John is, you are a prophet of the Most High who will go on before the Lord to do what? To prepare the way. Nothing else. to prepare the way. And so what does that mean for us to say we have to be people who go before the Lord to prepare the way? Well, there's two parts to that. And the first part of that is that God does something first. We are children of God. We are people of God who are first and foremost prepared by God. God does something first. And the way he does that is that he first and foremost positions us. He prepares us by positioning us for his glory. We didn't do it on our own. We couldn't merit it. But God does something to position us for his glory. The Bible says that he has placed us in heavenly places, that he has brought us into union with Christ Jesus and placed us at the right hand of God in Christ. He positions us. That's what the gospel message, the salvation message is, that we are saying to people that by trusting in what the Lord Jesus has already done, in trusting that he has already paid the price for our sins when we are unable to pay for it ourselves, in looking to Jesus as our salvation, he takes and takes us and makes something of us. He makes us new. We who could be dead in our sins are made alive in Christ Jesus. So God positions us. And he, and the Bible here, in terms of what we just read in this section, he's saying he redeems us. He's buying us for a price. He's paying by his blood for our lives. He raises us up. He saves us from our enemies. He shows us mercy. And he maintains his covenant relationship with us. This is, you know, I'm so glad that Christianity makes it easy for me. Because just imagine if I had to do this. Just imagine if we had to somehow come up with the price for our sins. Just imagine if we had to somehow do something to be raised up in God or to be raised up into God's presence. Just imagine if we had to be able to save ourselves from our enemies. Just imagine if we had to say, I know how to do everything else and I don't need anybody. I can get things done by myself, by my strength. And just imagine if we said, oh, I know God, but I'm the one who maintains this relationship with God. Where would we be? Thank God that he does this for us. That the Bible says that when we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, he took the initiative to do this for us. And that's the message of the gospel. That's the message of the cross. That Christ did this for us. So he positions us. And he prepares us, first and foremost, by doing a whole bunch for us. All this for us. He's not saying to us, okay, I want you to go prepare the way, figure it out. He's saying, I want you to prepare the way, and let me first do all this for you. Let me first bless you. Let me first save you. Let me first redeem you. Let me first make you whole and well. And then, he says, I prepare you to serve me. And how do I prepare you to serve me? I enable you to live without fear. All the things that come at us in our daily lives. The Lord says, I will give you the ability to live without fear. I enable you to live in holiness and righteousness. I enable you to live in service to me for all your days. I'm the one who will give you the strength. And I'm the one who will sustain you. And I'm the one who is with you. And I'm the one who will bless you. And as you seek me and my kingdom and my righteousness, I'm the one who will add all those other things to you. I'll take care of it. What a relief. What a blessing. What a joy. That on a day where we say, joy of the Lord. Oh, just let's remind ourselves, we have great reason to rejoice. God has done something good for us. He prepares us and he does this and he pours out of himself and he gives of himself in these ways. And he says, I have shown you all of this so that you can prepare the way. And so what does it mean for us to prepare the way? First and foremost, again, from these scriptures that we've just read, we prepare the way of the Lord by receiving a word from the Lord. You can't prepare the way of the Lord in your own wisdom. You can't say to people, let me tell you what the plan of God is, and then just make up something. You know? Come up with something. No. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He's got all these things laid out in such a way that what we have to do is simply wait on Him. We go to God and we say, God, give me your word so that I can then give them. That means spending time in reading the Bible. That means spending time with those that would encourage us to know God's word. That means listening to that word in every opportunity that we get. That means singing the word. That means praying the word. That means receiving the message into us so richly that the word of God dwells in us so richly that it just overflows from us. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is the word that we would have for somebody that we could tell them? Only the word that's already in our hearts. Only the word that's already in abundance in our hearts. If it's not in abundance in our hearts, if it's not inside us, we can't say anything. We can't go to somebody else and say, this is the plan of God. We can't say, come to our church. Come to our church. Somebody there will explain the word, you know, the plan of God. No. We have to be people who are so filled with the word of God that we're able to share the word of God. It just overflows from us. That should be the natural state of a child of God. So we receive and then declare a prophetic word. A word of warning sometimes. A word of comfort. A word of healing and deliverance. And a word of love. That's the word that we're called to proclaim and to declare to others. We're not going to people and saying to them, you miserable sinner. We're saying, Jesus died for your sins. And he loved you so much that he gave his life for you. That if you just believe in Him, that if you put your trust in Him, and if you say, Jesus, I want to receive you, He will answer that prayer. He is faithful and just, and He will keep His promise, and He will come into your heart, and He will make you His child. That's the message we declare. It's a message of love. It's a message of hope. It's a message of joy. That's good news. That's good news to share with somebody. So how do we prepare? Or how are we responding to the fact that God has done these things and we say, God, I want to prepare the way of the Lord? First and foremost, we receive His word. It's in us, and then we're able to share it. Secondly, we want to share the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins to those around us. We want to be explicit. We're not saying, I was reading an article just recently that said, if you don't believe in God, just lie to your kids about there being a God. Why? Because the author's claim was that the notion of a heavenly being and the idea of morality and, you know, good things and a way to live will keep children to have a hope, or to give children a hope, and will help them to live a good life. Of course, there was a lot of opposition to that and a lot of atheists who complained about that article and everything else. But, see, we're not trying to make up something. We're not saying, just believe in that love God. We're saying, we want to tell you about Jesus, who came into the world with a very specific purpose. Even last night, we were at a Christmas celebration, and the person who was sharing said, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, but we cannot move away from a Christmas celebration without talking about the death of Jesus. Because he came into the world to die for our sins. Before even the creation of this world, God had purposed that for our sakes, Jesus would one day come into the world as a man and would die for our sins. And then he would rise again to show that he is victorious over sin and the grave and death. And he breaks all the power of that. And he gives us life. So when we speak to people and we receive a word from God and we're sharing that word of God, the core of our message is Jesus already paid the price for the forgiveness of your sins. You don't have to do anything. You don't do any penance. You don't do anything to sacrifice of yourself you come to God and you accept His sacrifice. And you say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Thank you for what you have done. So simple and so straightforward that a thief convicted to death on the cross beside Jesus can in his dying breath say, Jesus, I believe you. I trust you. I know that you are the Savior of this world. That Jesus is able to say to him, today you're with me in paradise. Wow. Wow. I mean, this is a message that should give such life to people. That Jesus has come and he has died for the forgiveness of our sins. So how do we prepare? We prepare and we get clear in our hearts. We make certain that we know, we understand. What does it mean that Jesus came and did this? What does this message of salvation for through the forgiveness of sins, what does it mean? How do I articulate that? Let me practice it. Let me be, you know, able to tell somebody else what this means. And let me tell them what God has done for me. Let me share with them how I was forgiven of my sins. And I was brought into this saving grace of God and the saving knowledge of Jesus. How I came into this. Let me share that. Let me be prepared to share that. And then, how do we continue to prepare the way of the Lord? We bear witness of God's mercy and life. You know, it's one thing to be saved. It's one thing to be saying, okay, I've been forgiven of my sins. But then, to say and to bear witness that every day of my life, whether I'm 20 or 50 or 80, I can bear witness that God has been merciful to me. That God has shown his light on me. That God has blessed me. That God has cared for me. That God has healed me. That God has delivered me. That God has been good to me. I can bear witness of that. So I'm not just telling a message to somebody else that says, you should also believe in this Jesus who came, you know, more than 2,000 years ago and he died for your sins, so please believe, you know, accept Jesus. But I'm also saying to them, this is not just somebody else's experience. I'm bearing witness that this is my personal experience. I bear witness to the mercy and the light of God that has been shed to me, given to me. And I bear witness of that. So how do we prepare the way of the Lord? We are able to share. We are eager to share of our own lives, of our own testimonies. And then we direct people to the path of peace. Jesus spoke of himself and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And because we've spoken of the truth of what Jesus did, that he came to forgive our sins, he died, he did all these things. Because we are saying that if you believe and trust in him, that he can save you and give you life, we're also saying to people, every day of your life, for the rest of your life, for the rest of your days, you can walk in a path, in a way of life. That way is personified. That way itself is Jesus. But I want to tell you, I want to direct you. I want to cause you to look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who lays out that way before us and who helps us to take that path, to walk in that way. The Bible speaks of us taking steps that are firm, of not turning to the right or to the left, of going the narrow path. Why? Because it's giving us this picture of this journey that we're on. Only because of the strength and the power of the Lord. Right. Only because of the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Only because the Bible says that we are able to stay in step with the Spirit. Yes. Oh, because of that, we have a message of great significance to share with people. Those in the world around us who are struggling, who are going through all sorts of stuff in their daily lives, wouldn't it be wonderfully transforming for them to know that every day of their life, there is a path of peace that they can walk on. Every day, they can take a step into that day on a path of peace. Not a red carpet laid out so that you would be a celebrity. Not some path of prosperity. Not a path of comfort. Not a path that you define, but a path of peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Because He is who He is, we can come into His presence and say, God, thank You that You have called me and You have saved me, and I can walk in this path now. Oh, what a joy. What a joy. I'm preaching myself happy. And so, you know what? When we know that the Lord has prepared us so that we can prepare the way, when He says, as Zechariah says of John, you are born and called a prophet of the Most High to prepare the way of the Lord. When He says that of us, when He says, I have called you and I have given you my name and I have made you my child to do what? To prepare the way of the Lord. There is a second coming of the Lord. There is a way in which the world around us needs to experience the coming of the Lord Jesus into their own hearts. Who will go and tell them? How will they know unless somebody tells them? How will they hear this good news? The angels are not showing up in Bethlehem or in China or in India or in Charlotte or in Concord daily and saying, let me give you this good news. Let me tell you that Jesus Christ was born. No. God says to us, you have been called to prepare the way of the Lord. And so, when we respond to this word, our commitment is really quite simple. We're saying, Lord, we commit to being prepared by the Lord to prepare His way. We commit to being positioned in Christ Jesus so as to prepare the way for the Lord. We commit to having You work in our hearts and our lives and to cause us to mature as disciples of Christ, walking daily in the path of the Lord, so that we can prepare others, we can bear witness, we can let the world know what it means to be a child of God. If we have a good message like that to share, and we have the joy of the Lord that is our strength that enables us to share, wouldn't somebody want to know about that? Wouldn't we be infectious? Most Christians, most of us, we don't have that. We're not waiting on the Lord for this word. We're not filled with His presence and His joy. We're not seeking to walk in His path. So most people around the world meet us and they say, you're no different than I am. Why should I believe in this Jesus that you talk about? No difference. But if we're truly living in the way that the Lord has asked us to live, if we have committed to being prepared by God and therefore preparing the way of the Lord, I say to you, people will notice. People will say, how is it that your life is different? How is it that how you perform on your job is different? How is it that your marriage is different? How is it that your parenting is different? How is it that you're not anxious about the future? How is it that you are at peace? How is this? Without medication, by the way. How is this? How is this possible? And then we have this message to share. So as a point of application this morning, I want to just ask you to do this. Consider what you need to do to be prepared yourself. Are you prepared? Are you in Christ Jesus? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you know this message of salvation for the forgiveness of sins? Are you walking in the way? The Bible says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Consider. Are you prepared yourself? And then, what can you do? Consider what you can do for yourself as such, what you need to do to respond to the Lord Jesus. But then, what can you do to prepare somebody else for the coming of the Lord? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody that you've known for a long time. Maybe it's somebody who you just associate with from time to time. Maybe it's a colleague at work. Maybe it's just a stranger. You know, and you just met them, and there's a prompting. There's something in you that seems to be saying, tell them about you. And you go, I don't know what I can say. But you see, when we say that to ourselves, I don't know what I can say, we're looking at ourselves. When we say, oh, I do have a message to share, we're looking at Jesus. We're saying, Jesus, because I know you, because you have prepared me, I can prepare the way for somebody else. I can tell somebody else about who you are and what you mean to me. Now, last week, as a point of application, I said, go sing. Sing. We talked about the joy of the Lord, and we talked about the favor of the Lord, and I said, go sing. Find a song that you can sing with, or find a song that you can listen to, but let this just bubble up in you in song. This week, I want to play a song for you. And the song is by Paul Wilbur, and it's titled, Prepare the Way. Every week we want to remind ourselves that we need to die to self and that we need to be raised up to new life in Christ Jesus. In order to prepare the way of the Lord, this has to be our daily experience. We rejoice in the salvation that the Lord has given for us. We rejoice in the fact that He has given us new life. So this morning, let's stand together. Let's just be blessed as we celebrate the good things that the Lord has done for us. In every season, in every way, that we would receive the word of the Lord that we can share with somebody else to let them know the good news. This morning, from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, I want to speak this word of blessing over you. A little bit of a preparatory kind of word too, not just a blessing. But from this scripture, let me speak this to say, may you preach the word. May you be ready in season and out of season. May you reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, may you always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist. May you fulfill your ministry to prepare the way of the Lord. God bless.